All right, if you take the Word of God again this evening and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20. Jeremiah, chapter 20, we'd like to read just three verses this evening for our text and for the thought and the message the Lord has laid upon my heart. Jeremiah, chapter 20, and verse number 7. We'll read from verse number 7 down to verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 20, please follow along as I read from verse number 7 down to verse number 9. The Word of God says this, O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, every one mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Let's go, Lord, and ask that once again you direct our hearts to His Word. Father, we're back here this evening and we're desirous to hear from you again. Father, we need a message from you. We need a challenge from you. And I pray that these verses may come to life to your people tonight. As Lord, as we look at the life of Jeremiah, this prophet that you used many years ago, Father, we'll see some similarities of the ministry and the work of God today. And Father, may we avoid, through being wise and exercising discernment of your word, that, Lord, we would avoid the pitfalls that other men have come into. And Father, our desire is to serve you, please you, honor you in all that we do. I pray that you give us the challenge, you give us the motivation, you give us the tools to do that. Dear Father, I pray that you empty me of myself, fill me with your Spirit. Use me in a way, Lord, I've never been used before. I don't desire to speak my words, I desire to speak yours. And may you do that tonight, that we may say that God has spoken. We'll praise you and give you all the glory as always, in Jesus' name. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah was going through a deep time of discouragement. His ministry, if you have followed it and read and considered the life and ministry that he had, it was one of frustration and heartache. As I look at the prophets, he was one that certainly had a tough job because he ministered to people that were rebellious and backslidden. He ministered to people that were proud and stubborn. He ministered to a people that resisted the Word of God. In fact, in chapter 7 and verse number 28, the Bible says this of the nation of Israel, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. It certainly was a time where God was not able to do things, where God was shut out from society, God was shut out of the churches, God was not even considered in their daily life. The nation of Israel had sunk to a low point in their history, given over to idolatry. No longer were they interested in God's laws. No longer were they interested in God's way and in God's plan for them. All they were consumed about was caring about themselves, caring about their life, what they were doing, what they were pursuing, and God was not in the picture. A terrible time for that nation. But yet, in the midst of their rebellion, as God always did, He showed yet again His loving grace and mercy to His chosen people. God always does that, doesn't He? That when it seems that God should just destroy us and say, I'm done with this, I'm fed up with this, He once again brings in His mercy and grace and says, I'll just give you one more opportunity to come back and turn back to me. In fact, if you were to study the period of time, God had already sent two other prophets to the nation of Israel. Daniel was there. He came in and he got carried away with the captivity in Babylon. But he prophesied the message of God. Ezekiel was a man that God called as he sat there in that refugee camp and said, Ezekiel, I want you to go forth and proclaim the word of God. You know, I like what he said to Ezekiel. He came straight up with him. He says, I'm going to send you to a rebellious people. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to be interested. But I want them to know that there was a prophet among them. That is only the grace of God. That they may reject it, but at least when they stand before me one day, they'll know I offered a wonderful, amazing grace. These two prophets had already come on the scene. We see a lot of the minor prophets had ministered, come in and said messages during this time. But now it was coming to the end and he sends Jeremiah. He showed his grace by being patient with this nation and ordaining Jeremiah from his mother's womb to proclaim the message of God's saving grace. That was a wonderful thing. I was telling Brother Guy that God ordained him to be a gospel preacher while in his mother's womb. He probably never thought of that, never even knew about that. I wasn't knowing that at the age of 2 or at age of 3. I'm going to be a preacher. I was going to be a firefighter, a policeman, everything else you say when you're young. But God had a plan for me. God had a direction He wanted me to go in. And you know it's this, that God has a direction because He wants to show His grace, His mercy to somebody. Isn't that amazing? The ministry of Jeremiah started at a young age. Go to chapter 1 of the book of Jeremiah. I love reading this passage. It just tells us over and over again that God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And He wants you to do something that He has called you to do. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. The word of God says, Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Alas, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set over thee the nations, and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And it goes into a great prophecy, a great vision that he has, and he starts his ministry of preaching the word of God. It's an amazing thing. God argued everything with him. He argued with God. God, I'm just a child. I can't do this work. He said, You be quiet. I have sanctified thee. I have touched your lips. You will do it, and you will do it mightily. Wonderful promise of God. Oh, it's so good that God is there. He says, it is my word that will do the work. All he needs is willing vessels. All he needs is men and women who will say, God, I'll do what you tell me to do, and I'll do it faithfully, but you're going to have to do a work. And he will. You know, from this day forward, when this young preacher started his ministry, he preached his heart out. I mean, he gave it all he had. He told him everything he knew. If God said something, he made sure he dotted every I and crossed every T. He was interested in proclaiming the word of God. Really, Jeremiah was a great example of what Paul charged Timothy to do. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He said, Jeremiah, I don't want you to try to make up the message. I don't want you to say what you think. You say what I tell you to say, whether it's popular or it's not, whether you want to say it or you don't want to say it. Preach the word. He goes on. Also, Paul told Timothy, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, that passage there represents the ministry of Jeremiah. You go through and you see that these were the days that he was in. Prophets. The prophets in those times were teachers having itching ears. They weren't interested in what God said. They just wanted to make it sound good to the people. That's why the people were comfortable in their rebellion. That's why the people didn't change and turn back to God. It was, what do you want to hear? We'll tell you a good gospel message. We won't say repent. We'll just say you're all right. The prophets had messages of itching ears. The priests, they did not endure sound doctrine. They weren't keeping the law that God had commanded them to keep. They were perverting the law of God. They're saying, we don't need to do it this way. We'll just do it how it's comfortable and conformable to us. They didn't follow what the Old Testament practice said they needed to do. There were kings and princes that turned their ears away from the truth. They were interested more in fables and stories than the truth of the matter. These were the days Jeremiah was involved in. And although everything looked in order, everything looked okay, these so-called men of God were nothing more than sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Their message had no power of God behind it. And so he said, I'll raise up a young boy. I'll raise up. Historians say that Jeremiah was probably of the age of 14 years of age when he started his ministry. Oh, can you imagine that young guy getting up? Standing in a nation that was very idolatrous, a nation that did not concern themselves about God, standing up against these other so-called preachers and proclaiming the Word of God. Well, he had to have a message from God, amen? You don't step out into that kind of environment without something from God. In Ezekiel chapter 22, if you'll turn there, I want to show you the condemning picture the Lord painted of those that should have been standing for Him, but they were not. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 25. The Bible says here, let's look in verse 24, Son of man, say unto her, thou art a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from the Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dabbled with the untempered mortar, seeing vanity and devising lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. Notice verse number 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The prophets should have been godly men, but they weren't. The priests should have been spirit-filled men, but they weren't. The kings and the princes should have been strong leaders, but they were not. See, God could not find a man where a man should have been. That's a terrible situation to be in. Instead of doing what God had called them to do, they perverted the laws of God to fulfill their own lust and their own covetousness. And so God chose to call a young man, a young child, to do a job that no one else would do. And that was to stand in the gap. Listen, men, God needs our help in turning this country back to Him. He needs some men that will stand in the gap and say, God, I'll make up the hedge. I'll do what's right. I'll do what your word commands me to do. But what will it take? What will it take for that to happen? I'll tell you what it will take. It will take some men and it will take some women getting on fire for God again. Getting back to what we've lost. It's sad today, but many Christians have allowed the fire of God within them to burn out or to be snuffed out. And they're not interested in getting the fire back. People that used to be soul winners are sitting down and not talking about Christ anymore. People who used to serve and have a burden for people of this church and people of the community are saying, let somebody else do it. You know what this is telling me? There's no fire burning within them. There's no fire where a burning desire is that God, use me. I can't help but speak your word. I can't help but serve you. You know, when Jeremiah's ministry started, he preached everything he had. And the power of God was on his lips. Not only was it on his lips, but it was in his heart. The Bible says, out of our heart proceed the words of our lips. What we speak comes from the heart. You know, up to chapter 22, Jeremiah had preached 8 powerful messages. I took the time this week to go through and summarize them. And as I love to do, Brother Wicks knows this, I love to give good, catchy titles. And so here are the titles. I thought since I'm named after him, I can title his messages. Here are the 8 messages. Just listen to the titles and how powerful they were. In chapter 2, he preached a message entitled, The Forgotten God. He got before the nation of Israel and before Judah and said, you've forgotten the God that has brought you out of Egypt. The God who has blessed you. The God who has sanctified you. The God who has placed you where you ought to be. You've forgotten Him. In chapters 3 through 6, he preached a message, repent, return, or die. Repent, turn back to the God who called you. Repent and turn back to the God that is your Jehovah. Return to Him, or else judgment will come. In chapters 7 through 10, he preached a message called fake Christianity. Jeremiah was bold enough to stand at the temple gates and say, you know what? You're going in and out. You're acting like you're religious. You think that you're close to God, but you're fake in your Christianity. There's no spirituality to you. There's no God presence and spirit filled within you. It's fake. You need to get back to what brings the power. In chapters 11 and 12, he preached a message called the Broken Covenant. The covenant that God had made with them, the covenant they had given to Him, how they broke that. They had no concern for the things of God and the laws of God. In chapter 13, a message called Pride and Prejudice, talking about their pride and how they thought they were something when they really were nothing. In the chapters 14 through 15, he preached a message called No Change, No Rain. You're not going to turn to God, you're not going to get right with God, then God's going to remove the rain. And there'll be famine in the land. In chapters 16 through 17, he preached a message entitled The Preacher's Responsibility. He spoke about his responsibility and how God had called him and what God called him to do. And he said, I must stay within God's guidelines. But I think he was also doing this. He was speaking to some of the priests and the prophets who claimed to be men of God. And said, you need to get back to what God has called you to be. And then my favorite message was in chapters 18 and 19 where he preached on the work of the potter. As the Lord said, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And I want you to watch him as he works that work on the wheel, as he molds the clay. And I want that to affect you and I want you to go and preach that to others. He said, am I not like that potter? Is Israel not like that clay in my hand? Where I could crush them, or I could make them into something beautiful. What a wonderful message there. You know, as I look at the life of Jeremiah, I see him as a fiery preacher with a powerful message. That's just how I see him. He was that kind of man. His ministry was not successful by man's standards. But in God's eyes, he fulfilled his calling. That is so important. That don't be judged by what others think. Don't judge your ministry on how you do things for the Lord. You don't know what God's going to do through your faithfulness. Oh, we need more men like Jeremiah today. Men who will answer the call of God. Men who will preach the message of God. And men who will let the outcome be of God. So important. Brethren, let me make this statement. God does not need us to force change. He does not need us to force change. He just needs us to faithfully proclaim what will bring about change. You understand that? You know, so often we get so focused on trying to force the issue, trying to conform people to be like Christians, when really we just need to give them the gospel that will make them Christians. We're so interested in conforming them and making them go around and act and speak and do everything that they ought to be doing. But instead, we ought to give them the message that will change the heart, where they'll say, I want to do what's right. You know, the gospel that is in this book is a message that declares something powerful. The gospel message is a life-changing, home-changing, church-changing, country-changing kind of message. And we need to get back to it. That is where the power is at. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul believed it. Paul preached it, and Paul saw the outcome that God promised. You know, there is power in thus saith the Lord. There really is. We just need to believe it again. That when God's word goes forth, it's going to do something. It says, Is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Hebrews says it is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it can cut and divide and pierce the soul and spirit of man. The Word of God has power. I believe the prophet Jeremiah knew that. And for years he faithfully preached the message. But you know, in chapter 20, something happened. Something happened that caused his fire to go out. Notice what he said. If you're there in our text, we'll need to turn back to Jeremiah chapter 20. Notice what he said. Up to this point, when he prayed, he begged God to save the nation. Up to this point, when he preached, he wept. He pleaded with the people. But now his prayer is so different. Oh Lord, Thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. This once fiery preacher now said, I'm quitting. I'm done. 8 messages are enough. God's used me. God's done what he said he'd do. And now I'm retiring. You know, it's a sad condition when Christians come to that. I'll tell you this, God wants to use you till the day you die or He calls you home. He wants to use you. Now, yes, your abilities and your availability may lessen as time goes on, but He still has a purpose. And it is not for you to choose when that time comes to an end. See, the gospel will never lose its fire. But we sometimes do, don't we? We sometimes lose faith in the power of the gospel. And we allow situations to snuff out that fire, to deaden that fire. And we go on and we become complacent and comfortable in our Christianity. I'd like to ask this question. Where is the fire today? Where is the fire amongst believers of Bible Baptist Church? Is there fire in your prayer life? Is there fire in your witness? Is there fire in the compassion that you show to the lost and in the compassion that you show to one another? Or has the fire gone out? Too many Christians used to have the fire, but now it's gone. Well, I used to do this, and I used to stand for the Lord, and I used to witness for God. You know what that ought never to be in our vocabulary? If anything, it should be, I used to be a wicked sinner, but now I'm on fire for God. Never to go backwards in our Christianity. I'd like us just to briefly consider a couple things. How do we lose the fire? How do we lose that fire? See, up to this point in Jeremiah's ministry, it seemed that nothing deterred him from preaching the message of God. He certainly was a man that had the hand of God upon him, and he had a burden to preach the Word of God. People would mock him, yet he still preached. People would want to harm him, and yet he still preached. People would laugh at him and make fun of him and make jokes of him, and yet he still preached. The prophet exhibited a wonderful grace and love that God has to a people who did not deserve it. I would say that if we were in that situation, we would come to ourselves and say, that's it. They don't want to listen to God, then God bring judgment and bring it swiftly. All Jeremiah cried out and said, God, I know you are righteous and you are justified of judging these people, but God, save them. God, don't let it happen. Turn their hearts. How did Jeremiah do it? How did he keep the fire of God in his heart so long with all the things going against him? Well, I believe the answer is this. God kept the fire burning. God kept the fire burning. It is God who places a fire within each of us, and by faith we must let it burn. Remember what Hebrews chapter 11 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Faith that what God has commanded us to do and what God has given us to do, the message of God that He has put in our heart, He will enable us to continue on and have the strength to proclaim it even in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. You know, I look at men and women in the Bible that were men and women of faith, and I wonder how often they kind of doubted God, but yet they still were able to do great and mighty things. You know, I believe it came down to this. The Lord put a fire in their heart. A passionate fire will be lit in your heart by several different things. Number one, it will be lit by a promise. It will be lit by a glimpse. It will be lit by a vision. It will be lit by a victory. And it will be lit by a word. You think about that. You know, there are a lot of examples. It will be lit by a promise. God will spark a fire in your life when He gives you a promise. I think of Abraham. Abraham there just living, going through life, and God comes and says, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. And I want you to pack up everything and I want you to go. There's a promise. I will do it, Abraham. I'll give you the promised son. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham obeyed God and he went. There's the faith. A fire got in his heart and he said, I'm going to do what God has commanded. A fire will be lit by a glimpse of God in your life. I think of Moses as he was there and saw the burning bush. And he had a glimpse of God. And God was telling him, Moses, I want you to go forth and lead my people out of Egypt. I'm going to do a work for you or through you. And all he needed was a glimpse. He said, God, can I just have a glimpse of you? And there was a fire that burned within Moses. You read about the ministry Moses had. I mean, there are times he said, God, I just want to beat them badly. They frustrate me. But there were also times Moses said, God, kill me and spare them. Only through a fire that burns in the heart. He remembered the glimpse of Almighty. You'll catch a fire by a vision of God. I think of Isaiah, who had that vision, and he was immediately in the throne room of God and saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the seraphim flying around singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And he fell to his knees and said, "Woe is me." And then he said, "Here am I, send me." The vision gave him a fire. He said, "God, I'll go to any kind of people you want." But he needed that fire. A fire can come through a victory. I think of men like Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. They enter the promised land. They cross Jordan. They don't know what's going to happen. Can you imagine Joshua on that day? "All right, God, our first city is Jericho. What's the battle plan?" "I want you to march around it 7 days. And at the end of the seventh day, I want you to shout, blow a trumpet, and I'll do the work." "Really, God? That's how you're going to do it? Just do it, Joshua." He got a fire in his heart. He says, "You know what? This is going to work." It had to have put a fire in his heart, because no one would walk around the city like that looking like a crazy person if God wasn't behind it. And when those walls crumbled, he said, "Oh, God is mighty." He had a victory. But you know, we also get a fire lit in our heart by a word from God. I think of Noah in Hebrews chapter 11. It says Noah moved with fear and built an ark. You imagine Noah, he's there, he's seeing all the corruption in the world. He's living in a wicked and perverse generation. People that didn't care about God, much like the time of Jeremiah. And he comes to him, he says, "Noah, I want you to build an ark." "What's an ark?" "Well, it's something that'll help you float on water because it's going to rain." "What's rain?" And a fire got in his heart. He said, "You know what? Almighty God spoke to me. A word from God," and it says he moved with fear and he built an ark to the saving of himself and his house. And he saw the victory. See, brethren, it takes one of those things. Faith is believing and acting upon the promises, the glimpses, the visions, the victories, and the words of God. That's how we keep a fire burning in our heart. Listen, Christian, when we remove our eyes from those things, our fire will surely go out. It will really go out. See, notice when Jeremiah started to look at the consequences of the message, more than the God behind the message, he lost his fire. Notice what he said there in verse number 7 and 8. He said, "Lord, you've deceived me. I'm in derision daily. I cried out, I spoke your message, I did what you said. I cried out spoil and violence. I said everything you told me to say. And now they're laughing at me, God. Every day, I'm tired of hearing the jokes. I'm tired of the snickers. I'm tired of all these things that are going against me." In fact, in chapter 20, he had been put in the stocks. He was now suffering persecution physically. And his focus was on the consequences of the message. "God, look what your message did." You know, brethren, that is the same thing that kills the fire today. We go out, we knock doors, we tell loved ones, we proclaim the message of God. We have a burning in our heart. God's spoken to us. We know He's real. We've seen His power. We get out there amongst those that need the gospel. And they laugh at us. They make fun of us. They say, "That's not real. God's not with you. God didn't talk to you." And we get upset at God. And there goes that fire. It just ends. And we say, "I'll never speak again of God. I'll never tell anybody else again." You know, he got discouraged. Discouragement will always put out the fire of God in your life. And sadly, many times it will attack your faith and never get you up to do things again. You know, living for the Lord has never been easy. You know, I've said that many times in just counseling with people or talking with them. Even those that want to know about salvation, I'll say, you know what? Living for God's not easy. It's not a bed of roses. It's not a walk in the park. It's tough. But I'll tell you this, when God gives you a fire in your heart, He will give you the power to keep it burning. Notice this scripture, it says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it." Brethren, we just need to trust in God. Trust in this book. You may not understand it. You may say, "God, they're not interested. They're not listening to me. They're not hearing." But you know what? The Bible says, "My word will not return void." You never know what God will do down the road. It could just be a situation in their life. They come running back to you. And I'll tell you, when they come running back to you, they need to come to a person that's on fire for God with the message of God ready to go. They don't need to sit there and say, "Well, what's wrong? Well, I'm just discouraged. I'm just down." Brethren, we need to keep it going. Souls depend on us keeping this book igniting our heart. Now, how do we get back the fire? You say, "Well, Pastor Jeremiah, I know I've lost the fire. I don't have a burden for souls like I used to. The way I pray, it's just so dead. It feels like vain repetition. There's no burden there. I don't know the last time even moisture came to my eyes when I was praying for somebody. And I just feel so cold and dead to my Christianity." You know, I'll tell you this. First of all, you need to understand that's because the enemy's been attacking you. Satan wants to discourage us and he wants to pour water all over our fire. He's lost you in the sense that he won't be able to see you in hell. But he sure doesn't want you telling others. He sure doesn't want you to be excited about the things of God. Because he knows this book is powerful. He knows that this book says he's a defeated foe. And he doesn't want that message getting out. He wants to keep us comfortable. Oh, he's fine with us coming into the church house and testifying of the goodness and grace of God. But don't you dare walk out these doors and tell somebody else. Just have a secretive Christianity. Just have it to yourself. He is the enemy. I found that Satan will use difficult people to take out our fire. He will use the lack of success. Well, I've been teaching this Sunday school class and no one's ever gotten saved. No one's ever changed their life. No one's ever been called to preach. God's never done anything through it. And we get down in the dumps and we say, "Oh, God can't use me." Satan will use demeaning situations where we're belittled. He'll use people to tear down our pride. And what we think we're great and mighty, he'll use them to tear it down. He will use persecution. You know what I found also? He will use this. Not hearing thank yous. They didn't thank me for what I did. They didn't recognize me. And the fire goes out. You know, when the devil tries to discourage you, Christian, just keep preaching. Just keep praying. And just keep pushing on. He's a defeated foe. The Word of God must consume us. The Word of God must be that fire that is burning within our heart. What is going to keep this church a soul-winning church? God's Word. What is going to keep this church a praying church? God's Word. What is going to make this church a powerful church? God's Word. Notice what Jeremiah said there. After he got done with all his whining and complaining, and "God, you've deceived me, you've let me be mocked." Notice what he said. "But His word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Some of you are weary. Why don't you get back to the book? Why don't you sit down and say, "God, it's been so long since this book excited me. and motivated me, give me something to go on. Brethren, I believe God answers prayers like that. It's just whether or not we're bold enough to ask it. Because I think sometimes we get scared. Well, if I let God's word consume me, He just may use me. Amen. It's what we want. And you know, you'll have no greater joy than being in the will of God and proclaiming the message of God. I thought of an example of the disciples in John chapter 6. If you'd like to turn there real quickly. John chapter 6. I don't know how this fits into the message, but it fit for me when I saw it. In John chapter 6 and in verse number 66, the Bible says, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Everybody else is departing me. Will your fire, will your burden also deaden?" And here's Peter who stands up in the midst, and I love what he says. He says in verse 68, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Christian, where are you going to go? You want to shut your Bible? And you want to say, I'm done living for God? I'm done speaking for God? I'm done serving for God? Then answer this question, where are you going to go? There is nowhere to go. Let's get this book back in this heart and let it burn. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. Lord, I love Your Word. And Lord, I've seen it do mighty and powerful things in my own life. And Lord, I know there's been times where I've even been like the prophet here, where I've gotten discouraged. I've let people, I've let situations, I've let mocking tear me down. Lord, I'm so thankful for Your Word that has revived me and lit that fire once again. Father, I pray that You would keep that fire burning. And Father, there may be those this evening that their fire's been out for a long time. And may they take the example of this prophet and allow You to reignite that passion and that burden for the Word of God. Lord, where will we go? What will we do if You're not there and Your Word is not center and in our life? Father, bless this invitation. Speak to the hearts that need speaking to. And Father, most of all, may Your people make changes that are pleasing to You. We love You, Lord. We give the invitation to You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's